patient, Hari Shanti, will offer sa with Lokapala, the demigods, Manjante, will consider Esham of these kings, Sriyaha, wives, Adirajam, the original king, Chakra Ayudham, bearing the disc weapon, Tat, his, Yashaha, reputation, Udharantya, carrying on. Translation. When the king travels all over the world, other kings, as well as the demigods, will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hands the emblems of club and disc, and will sing his fame, for he will be as reputable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As far as reputation is concerned, King Prithu is already known as the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Adirajam means the original king. The original king is Narayan, or Lord Vishnu. People do not know that the original king, or Narayan, is actually the protector of all living entities. As confirmed in the Vedas, Eko Bahunam Yo Vididhati Kamam, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is maintaining all living entities. The king, or Naradeva, is his representative. As such, the king's duty is to personally supervise the distribution of wealth for the maintenance of all living entities. If he does so, he will be as reputable as Narayan. As mentioned in the verse Tadyashaha, Prithu Maharaj was actually carrying with him the reputation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he was actually reigning over the world in that capacity. Om Ajnanitimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gadim Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam Paramanam Namaravam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram. So we see that Prithu Maharaj is continuing to be glorified by the professional reciters at various functions held by kings, dignitaries. Different types of professionals were invited. Professional singers, professional dancers, and also professional reciters. Professional reciters talk about the glories of the dignitaries at the function. So here we see that Prithu Maharaj is being glorified, that all the other kings of the world will subjugate themselves to him. They'll be offering him various presentations. And not only the other kings of the world, but also Hey Raghava, you're late. Glad to see you could make it, though. Not only the other kings, but also the demigods. They will also be offering presentations to King Prithu. And this is because that they will be recognizing that King Prithu is such a powerful king that he's following the duties of a king very, very carefully, so that he himself becomes the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually that is the position of the king. The king is representing the Supreme Lord. And this concept is there. Even in Europe, in the Middle Ages, there was a concept that the kings had a right to rule because of some divine right. They had a divine right. That was their authority to rule. Right? So this concept we can see is coming from the Vedic literatures. Although in Kali Yuga, this concept of the king becomes perverted with the idea that the king becomes a big enjoyer. And this becomes the downfall of the system of pious kings that are ruling the world. But this is, as Srila Prabhupada many times says, a better system than democracy. Now we see all over India, there's an elections are going on, and everyone is wondering what the new government will be. But in actuality, it will be the same old thing. Nothing new. A bunch of self-interested persons who are promising the people everything. But when they come into power, their only business is how to stay in the power. They're so busy worrying about the next election, which just happens 4 or 5 years later, that whatever they promised the people, they never fulfill. And when you're promising people sense gratification, no matter what you do, even if you're an honest politician and you actually are trying to supply the people with sense gratification, because sense gratification is never satisfying, so it's a futile attempt. Right? You try to satisfy the sense gratification of people, and the sense gratification is not satisfying, so they won't be satisfied. Rather, we see in the history, like in the this particular pastime of Prithu Maharaj, he saw to the real duty of the king, and he was concerned about the real duty of the population. And the real duty of the population is to become Krishna conscious, is to serve the Supreme Lord. Knowing this and seeing that the people follow, this is the real way to have a peaceful society. People never will become satisfied. They never will become happy simply by material arrangements. Of course, material arrangements are there, as we see described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, that the king would supervise the distribution of wealth. Right? He would supervise the distribution of wealth. Nowadays, well, what that means is basically wealth at that time in the Vedic system, wealth was what? Who was a wealthy man? Who was considered someone who was wealthy? Right? Well, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that a wealthy person was someone who had grains and cows. Right? Grains and cows. It was a wealthy person. He had sufficient stock of foodstuffs, grains, and he had sufficient animals in the farms of cows. He was a wealthy person. Today, now the concept is based upon money. And what is money, Srila Prabhupada describes? It's simply paper with some ink printed on it, right? 500 rupee note, 1,000 rupee note, $100 bill. But if you actually take out its value, it's not worth anything, right? It's just a mental concept that it has some value. Therefore, I trade with you for something, some commodity in exchange for that. Really, it has no value. It used to be that those notes were backed up with gold. In America, there's a place called Fort Knox, right? And it has so much gold. So the money, the paper notes, was backed up by gold. But that system is not there. You know, the dollar is not on the gold standard anymore. It's not really worth anything. Right? So we can understand what an artificial economy that we're living in. What an illusory concept that we're living in. It's all based on a very flimsy arrangement of economics. And, you know, like some people, they take a deck of cards, playing cards, you know, and they try to build a house. Have you ever seen somebody do that? One floor, two floors, three floors with their playing cards, right? But after three floors or so, it becomes shaky. And definitely you know that you put one more and it's going to fall. Isn't it? You ever had that experience? Huh? So this so-called modern economy is like that. It's a house of cards. Anytime it can fall. And it does regularly. And it falls so much that, you know, just like the rainy season comes at a particular time, so these economists predict now's the time for the fall. Right? There's cycles. It builds up for a little while and then it crashes down. But this is not real. It's not actual economy. It's not how things were meant to be. Right? Things were meant to be based on real things, not imaginary things. They have a real government. A real government that can take action. That can do things in a real time. That's what was meant to be. Many times we've given the example of how Maharaj Parikshit took his army and went across the countryside to see how things were going on in his kingdom. And while he was traveling, what happened? He came upon a Shudra dressed as a king and punishing a cow. So what was Maharaj Parikshit's reaction? He immediately drew his sword to kill this rascal, this miscreant that was mistreating a cow. This is the benefit of having an actual government. Today, the miscreants many times go unpunished. Because of not having a government based on sense gratification and instead of having a government based on Vedic principles. Srila Prabhupada once had an appointment with the Prime Minister of India, Indira Gandhi. And for that appointment, he jotted down in his notebook some points that he was going to speak with the Prime Minister about. However, the meeting never took place because at that time in Indira Gandhi there was a a threat on her life, so she canceled the meeting. But I can remember some of the points, that little notebooks in Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan, that Prabhupada jotted down the points. So some of the points were that the members of parliament should perform kirtan every day before their meetings. There should be kirtan. And that for someone to be a member of parliament, they should be following the regulative principles. This is what he wanted to talk to Indira Gandhi about. Because unless the persons in government are following religious principles and practicing, how can there be any good government? The protection of the people is actually coming from Narayan. Right? And those persons who can protect the people when they represent Narayan properly, as we see in the life of Prithu Maharaj. It says here that the original king is Narayan. And he's the protector of all living entities. The government is there maintaining a huge army. But if the Lord does not sanction the protection of the people, how will they become protected? Sometimes we see that there's a new epidemic of some kind of disease, a virus. They have no cure for it. What is it? What's the new one? Swine flu. Right? Sometimes it's bird flu, West Nile virus. Something is there always, something new. So there's no cure for that. And in some countries, that has killed so many people. In fact, in Bombay, the people working in the airport were wearing masks so they didn't become contaminated by swine flu. Somebody coming from some other country and spreading the virus. So what will your army do if all of a sudden the material energy sweeps across the country with some disease that there's no cure for? What will your army, how will your army protect you? Right. So who is the real protector? That's Krishna or Narayan. And how will the populace be protected when it is overseen by a representative of Narayan, as Prithu Maharaj was, the pious king, the Rajarishis? Then real protection can be had. What we really require, the population really requires, is provided by the Supreme Lord. That's why previously the measure of wealth was based on grains and cows. Because by grains, the body can exist. All living bodies subsist on food grains. And by getting milk from the cow, so many different preparations, Srila Prabhupada explains, can be made. So many nice preparations, like rasgulla, gulab jamun, right? In the summertime, you get nice lassi from yogurt, right? So many nice, thousands of different preparations coming from milk, which we get from the cow. And milk is such a substance that by taking it, one's finer brain cells are developed so that one can understand the science of Krishna consciousness. So this is actually what is required. And this is actually coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our maintenance is coming from Him, the Supreme Lord. Everything that we require. And it's to have any other idea is illusion. To have any other concept is false. And it creates a false lifestyle. That's what the world is living in today. Instead of being based on land and a cow, it's based on oil. Today's economy is based on oil. And the farmers are committing suicide. Basically because of the polluted consciousness of the population, because people are basing their happiness, equating their happiness with sense gratification. And the farther that polluted consciousness goes, the farther we go away from the real economy, the farther we go away from the real government, the farther we go away from happiness. So, Maharaj Prithu was very famous and had a high reputation because of his carefully following the instructions of the Supreme Lord. He had a high reputation because of carefully seeing that the praja, or the citizens, carefully followed the instructions of the Supreme Lord. So therefore he was glorious. He was famous. Anyone, no one can be more famous than the Lord. No one. Just we celebrated the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. So the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev happened millions and millions of years ago in another yuga, but yet still we're celebrating. Still people are interested to hear about. There are so many other civilizations in between that came and went. So many kings, so many so-called great men. But they are forgotten. They are forgotten. But those persons who are in relationship with the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord, they are never forgotten. And that's the opulence of the Lord. He has all strength, all wisdom, all fame. The Lord is famous and the Lord's devotee is also famous. Just like Lord Nrisimhadev is famous, but when we think of Lord Nrisimhadev, we also think of Prahlad Maharaj. Just a 5-year-old boy. But he had great devotion for the Supreme Lord, and that was his credit. This incarnation of the Lord, Lord Nrisimhadev, was so amazing. The demigods had never seen such a form of the Lord before. And he was so angry, extremely angry. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they were afraid to come before him. They thought by his anger, certainly he'll finish everything, as he had finished within a second Hiranyakasipu, who had conquered all the 3 worlds, who the demigods were so afraid of that simply by raising his eyebrows, they used to tremble. And even Narada Muni used to offer his pranams to Hiranyakasipu. So powerful. But this form of half man, half lion, within a second, he finished it. So Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they were very much concerned by the anger being exhibited by Lord Nrisimhadev. And they called Lakshmi, the wife of Lord Narayan, and they told her, go pacify him, cool him down. But Lakshmi Devi had never seen this form of her husband as half man, half lion. Neither had Lakshmi Devi ever seen her husband so angry before. So she thought, maybe this is not my husband. So because she's the chaste lady of all ladies, she's the most chaste, she refused to go before Lord Nrisingadev. So they were perplexed. What to do? He's so angry he could consume everything, finish everything. So then they thought, okay, we'll send Prahlad. So they pushed Prahlad forward to Lord Nrisingadev. Then Prahlad offered his dandavat at the lotus feet of Lord Nrisingadev, small boy, 5 years old. But because of his devotion, he very much pleased Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Nrisingadev became very happy with his devotee Prahlad. And even though Prahlad was just a boy of 5 years old, small boy, Lord Nrisingadev put his hand on his head. And when Lord Nrisingadev put his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj became fully enlightened in Krishna consciousness. And he began to glorify the Supreme Lord. Prahlad Maharaj explained that although we're not qualified, although we're born in demoniac families, we don't have qualifications like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, still the Lord can be merciful. Prahlad Maharaj says that if someone has all the 12 qualities of a Brahmin, peacefulness, humility, etc., etc., if he's not a devotee of the Lord, he cannot do anything to please the Lord. All of his qualities don't please the Lord if he's not a devotee. And even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, but is surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he can please the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj, saying this, began to extol the glories of Lord Nrisingadev. And his point was that it's the Lord's mercy to benefit and protect his devotees. And he said that this form, your form, it will always drive away the fear from the devotees and protect the devotees. And there's so many amazing stories about how Lord Nrisingadev would protect devotees from various dangerous situations, terrible situations. So I heard recently a couple of stories in recent times about devotees or even non-devotees that were protected by Lord Nrisingadev. Would you like to hear those stories? Okay. There was a devotee, she was initiated, and her biological father died when she was young, and she was raised by a foster father. Raised by a foster, who wasn't a devotee. She practiced Krishna consciousness, and when her foster father was in the hospital on his deathbed, she went to visit him. He was in a coma, and he was terminal. With whatever disease, he was terminal, he was in a coma. So they brought a chanting of Prabhupada in the hospital room. The chant, Prabhupada doing kirtan, was going on in the hospital room. She thought, at least my foster father will hear this, you know, before he goes. Well, after playing that Prabhupada chanting in the room for a couple of days, right? The devotee noticed that her foster father, although he was in a coma, he was tapping on his leg with the kirtan. So after a day of this, then her foster father began to speak. And he said, "Oh, who is it?" He said. His eyes are closed and he's saying, "Oh, who is it? There is a half man, half lion. I can see him," he said. "Can you see him?" And then he said, "No, of course you can't see him. But he's smiling at me. And he's asking me to learn the chant. Can you teach me?" And her foster father said all of this with his eyes closed. So the devotee said, "Yes, we'll teach you." And they taught him how to chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And the next day her foster father died. So Lord Nrisimhadev can appear, can deliver the most unexpected person. But the devotees know that real protection is available from the Supreme Lord, and especially from the Lord's farm as Lord Nrisimhadev. Another interesting story. There was a young girl, 6 years old, and she was born to devotee parents. Her parents were devotees. And they worshipped in their house a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev. So this little girl, she liked the Lord Nrisimhadev, half man, half lion. That was her favorite attraction. So one day, she was in the front yard, and she was playing with her ball. And their house was kind of in the country. In front of their house was a road, but not a very busy road. So parents used to let her play. But the ball, of course, went into the street, went into the road. And she absentmindedly ran after her ball. What she didn't see was there was a big truck coming at a very high speed right at her. But her father, from the first floor window of their house, he could see the truck was coming. And in great anxiety to save his daughter, he jumped from the first floor window. Right? But when he landed, he broke both his legs. And he was lying on the ground. And just then, the truck he saw hit his daughter, and his daughter flew 20 meters in the air. So there was a lot of confusion. The police came. They called for an ambulance. But that hospital didn't send the ambulance because they were afraid the injuries would be too great. They suggested you call the big hospital because they'll have an ambulance properly equipped to handle somebody with these kind of injuries. Later on, the police caught the truck driver. He was intoxicated. So all this was going on. Finally, from the big hospital, the ambulance came, and they carefully put her in the ambulance and took her to the hospital. So the doctor came, had the girl x-rayed. So the doctor called for the radiologist to bring the x-rays, told the operating theater to get ready. Things were moving, right, for the care of this girl. And then the doctor started to chastise the radiologist, saying, "You fool, you brought the wrong x-rays. Bring the right x-rays." And the radiologist didn't know what to say, but insisted that, "Well, these are the x-rays." And then the doctor So well, how could they be the x-rays? The girl's been hit by a truck. She doesn't have a broken bone in her body. It's nothing, no injuries at all here. So then by that time they went to the girl and she was explaining to her parents what she had happened to her. She said she went for her ball and when she got up she saw the truck and she was lifted away from the truck 20 meters away and set down. And she said, "Who lifted me? When he set me down, he scratched my arm." So the doctor examined her. And he said, "Yes, this girl doesn't have anything wrong with her, except for some animal scratches that are on her arm." Because he had worked, this was in South Africa, so he had worked in a place where there were, you know, wildlife, and he knew what were animal scratches. And the girl had explained that she was lifted by the same deity that her parents worshipped, and when he was setting her down, she was scratched. Later on, the doctor became a devotee, the nurse became a devotee, because of this incident that happened to this young girl. So these are some of the stories that have come to me about the wonderful mercy that is there from Lord Nrisimhadev. Just as he protected Prahlad Maharaj from the sword of Hiranyakashipu, so in the same way, Lord Nrisimhadev, he's ready to protect us. We are hopelessly being attacked by Maya at every moment. Maya is attacking us. We're being attacked by a weakness of heart, some concept that I can enjoy here in this material world, that I'll be happy here in the material world. That's Maya's attack. So Lord Nrisimhadev is there to protect us. Protect us from what? Protect us from the material desires that are within our hearts. Lord Nrisimhadev has very sharp nails, right? And he has very sharp and powerful teeth. Dangstra and Naka. Teeth and nails. So the inhabitants of Jambudweep, they have offered one prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev. They offer one very nice prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev. It goes, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingaya Namaste Jas Tejase Avhir Avhir Bhava Vrajanakra Vajadangstra Karmasayam Randare Arande Om Gasa Svaha Abhyam Abhyam Atmini Bhuishta Om Shrom. So the inhabitants of Jambudweep, they're praying to Lord Nrisimhadev that with your sharp teeth and your sharp nails, please tear out from our hearts, just like you ripped apart Hiranyakashipu. So tear out from our hearts all these material desires that are there, because they're the obstacle in our devotional service. So you can take them out. So certainly, Lord Nrisimhadev is protecting us from so many different would-be mishaps that could happen in this material world. But he has another protection, and that is that he protects us from our material desires, our weaknesses of heart, so that we can continuously serve Krishna and not become bewildered by anything in this material world. We can remain fixed in the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So that we can go back home, back to Godhead. Maharashtra, are there any questions? Yes?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the class. Is it that a surrendered soul will develop the attitude of reconciling with every evolving situation and things they consider as the arrangement of the Lord, to the extent that like last week someone was saying there is these lorries coming into Vrindavan and with people are with a rifle and they pick the cows off the street for that slaughterhouse near Jaipur. So then we consider that this is also part of the changing Kali Yuga. What can be done? Let me reconcile to these new realities. Is that a surrendered soul's attitude?
Well,
like he also adjusts to other 3-4 miseries around and considers them as...
Well, it may be for some, but it might not be for others. There's certainly if the, you have some capability to effect a change, then that's good. But, say for instance, like the government, they would be in a situation to do something about that. We can try to influence the government. But our real business is to try to change the consciousness of at least a segment of the population. Srila Prabhupada has explained that if we can get even a small percentage, 1% of the population to chant Hare Krishna, then this world will become like Vaikuntha. Right? So our business is to get people to chant Hare Krishna, to take the Krishna consciousness. Even if they do or don't, it's not our business. That's up to Lord Chaitanya. But our duty is to follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by requesting people to change their lives through becoming Krishna conscious. People are in a kind of this false hope that they're going to be happy with something here in the material world, especially with their endeavors for obtaining sex life. And Prahlad Maharaj says it's just like an itching sensation, right? If you have an itch, right? If you leave it alone, it's better. And if you go ahead and itch it, it'll become more red, and sometimes the skin will break, blood will come, right? So sex life is this kind of itching sensation that is there for everyone in the material world. But if you indulge in that, you'll only suffer. Right? Prahlad Maharaj is saying that you avoid this. Right? And how to avoid it? By becoming Krishna conscious, by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Then it'll be possible. Any other questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna. This is regarding Lord Narasimha's appearance. Prabhu, I just wanted to know, like one of my friend asked, like, is there any account in the Shastras that what happened to Lord Narasimha after this pastime? Where all he went, like what are any other pastimes?
Well, I know one place that he went. He went to Navadvipa. And in Navadvipa, he washed his hands from the blood of Hiranyakasipu in a place called Narsingapoli. And then he went to his own abode. The Lord appears by his own sweet will because he wants to. Right? He wants to, you know, for some reason of his own. He's not forced to appear. He doesn't have to. But by his own desire, he appears. And he appears to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Pritranayana Saudanam Vinasaya Chaduskritam. Right? So, like that, Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared by his own sweet will, and then, when he desired, he also left by his own sweet will. Is that okay? Any other questions?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
जैसे कि भक्त लोग मैं भी हूँ और सारे भक्त लोग हैं, सोलह माला करते हुए भी मटेरियल डिजायर जो होता है वो नहीं जाता है, तो इसका मतलब ये है कि हम सोलह माला नहीं करते होंगे, और जो सोलह माला जो बराबर करता है उसको तो मटेरियल अटैचमेंट नहीं होना चाहिए, उसके लिए आप उसका उसके लाइक डालिए कि क्या?
Well, if you're chanting Sola Mala and you're not feeling free from material desires, then maybe you better chant Atara Mala. Or Tis Mala, whatever it takes. Unfortunately, we're not so attached to chanting. Even when we're chanting Sola Mala, we're sleeping, right? So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us so many services to do for Krishna, all in relationship to Krishna. You can make mala for Krishna. You can cook for Krishna. You can clean Krishna's temple. There's so many different services. You can speak about Krishna to other people that come and visit the temple. Right? And if you're just chanting Sola Mala and then go to sleep all day, how do you expect that material desires will leave you? Chodegane. Your material desires are right there. But if we fix ourselves the whole day in service, various services, without any expectation, just like Prahlad Maharaj, when he met Lord Nrisimhadeva, after he offered prayers, Lord Nrisimhadeva was very happy with him. Very, very happy. He said, take any benediction that you want. And he said, no, no, that's not the business of a servant. I want to be a servant. If I'm doing this for some expectation, then I'm not a really servant. Servant should serve without any expectation. And a master, a real master, is one who takes the service but doesn't offer anything. That's a real master, Prahlad told Lord Nrisimhadeva. So Lord Nrisimhadeva became more happy by Prahlad's answer. Right? So when we're doing service, we always should remember the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, without anything in expectation. Huh? Only we want to do the service. Why? For the pleasure of Krishna. For the pleasure of Krishna's devotees. There's no question of serving Krishna without serving Krishna's devotees, without serving the devotees of the Lord. So, both things. Chanting 16 rounds is important, but throughout the day, being engaged in seva is also important. Then we'll be able to become free from material desires. And if we find that our material desires are increasing instead of decreasing, then we may be chanting 16 rounds, but we may also be making so many offenses. And we may be offensive to the deities, or we may be offensive to the devotees, or we may be offensive to the holy name. So devotional service is a very introspective process. We look at ourselves and find out where how we're doing is very important. And that's why we have association with devotees, because just like if you're editing a book, or you write a book, But you give it to editors. Why? Because you can't find your own mistakes. You can't find your own mistakes. So you give it to editors, right? So the same way we have association with devotees, because they'll help us with our mistakes. Yeah? In a very constructive way. And actually, someone who criticizes me, that person is my best friend. Because they're helping me understand that I need to improve. Right? So a devotee never feels bad about criticism. He feels it's for my benefit. And he sees that it's coming from Krishna. Generally, somebody criticizes, we think, "Eh, kaun hai baat karte aisa? Huh? Dekhega." Right? But a devotee's mentality is not like that. If somebody's criticizing us, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, they're our real friend. They're helping us. It's this false concept that I'm something, right? That is keeping us away from the highest stage.
Sola mala karte hue bhi mane bhakto ka mane abhiman aa jata hai, ego aa jata hai. To sola mala ya 20 mala 40 mala bhi karte hue bhi ye ego kyon aa jata hai?
Well, until we have pure love for Krishna, we'll always have some false ego. And when we no longer have any false ego, that will definitely have... It's due to material desires, basically. The false ego comes due to material desires. And you can chant for birth and birth, but if you don't chant without offense, then your material desires won't go down. In fact, the chanting will increase your material desires. You know, the weeds in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the weeds that are there. And the impersonalist concept, desire for material name and fame, so many different weeds are there along with the creeper of devotional service. So due to offenses, the watering process, which is the chanting itself, the hearing and chanting process, devotional service, it tends to water the weeds. And the weeds grow so much that one can't distinguish between what is a weed and what is the bhakti lata beach, what is the creeper of devotional service. So the devotee becomes confused about what actually is the right thing to do and not do. Therefore, the association of the spiritual master is very important, because the spiritual master can identify that this is the kripa and this is the weed, this is the anartha, and the anartha should be left aside. The unnecessary thing should be left aside. It's a very scientific process, and one step by step follows it, then you can gradually progress towards the ultimate goal. Any other questions? There's one in the blue shirt. He has a question.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to know that how to detach ourselves from these material attachments.
How to?
Detach ourselves from these material attachments.
Well, how to detach ourselves from a material attachment. It begins by chanting Hare Krishna, staying in association of devotees, then gradually you'll become detached from material attachment. But it begins by chanting and taking up association.
And why does a man suffer from so much sorrows in this world?
Pardon?
Why does a man suffer from sorrows in this world?
Why does the mind suffer from sorrow? The mind is... our friend, as long as it's reminding us of Krishna, and the mind becomes our enemy when it is taking us away from Krishna. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy depending upon what it's focused on. If your mind is focused on Krishna and Krishna's service, it's your friend. If your mind focuses on anything else, it's your enemy. So how to make your mind your friend? By rendering devotional service, by associating with devotees. If you stay in association with devotees, if you chant the holy name of Krishna, gradually, gradually, your mind will become your friend.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. One last question.
Prabhu, as you explained, in these days we come across new type of diseases, and similarly we come across new type of concepts and cultural changes. And today's news in the paper is marriage between the same sex, gay marriage, today's thing, which happened in Delhi with the permission of the parents.
It happened where?
Delhi.
Oh.
With the permission of the parents, normally everything, invitation, everything was printed as a normal marriage. A Purohit was also there. So, in such a context, what should be the government's stand, or what should be our stand as a spiritual organization?
Our stand is what Srila Prabhupada has explained to us. Prabhupada said that homosexuality is a demoniac mentality that should be avoided. It's an extreme display of lust. So that's the line that we take. Pardon? Right. Yeah, homosexuality is still illegal in India. It's illegal. What to speak of marriage, it's illegal. So that's the stance in the Indian government. Of course, that may change. But our position won't change. Our position is coming from the Acharya, and we take that stance. But we try to, help people. Even sex, Prabhupada said, in marriage or outside of marriage, in one sense it's all illegal because it's not in relationship to Krishna, right? Sex life is not meant for sense gratification. It's meant for procreation. So even in marriage, if you're not doing it for having children, then it's illicit sex, right? So that's a pretty, for the non-devotees, that's a pretty radical and a concept, to say the least. But that's our stance. Why? Because it's come to us from the Acharyas, and it's based on progressive spiritual life. We're becoming detached from the bodily concept. It's required. So we don't change our philosophy to suit the changing times. No. We may adjust things a little bit, right? Srila Prabhupada arranged the marriages of his disciples, right, when he went to America, because he saw that they were mixing freely, like boyfriend, girlfriend. Basically, they were hippies, right? They became detached from everything except for sex and drugs. So he arranged their marriages so they would live in the proper way. So some adjustment can be there like that, but we're not going to completely ignore the words of the pure devotee just for the change in times, because Kali Yuga is going to become so bad that people will become cannibals. Even so-called civilized people, they'll become cannibals. So how will you adjust that? We don't make adjustments. But we try to help everyone, whether they're straight or gay. Actually, everyone is in the same situation. And that is, they're caught in this bodily concept of life, meant only to suffer birth after birth, unless they get out of the cycle of birth and death. This Krishna consciousness movement is the only way people will become actually free from that very dangerous situation. Okay? Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Vah.